Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven.
Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Funny, we're so used to Tim giving us a bunch of scriptures when I told Norris verse 1, he looked at me and said, "That's it?" I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Tim, our joke is he always wants us to read the whole book." Today we are going to talk about time. And I tell you, time kind of got me on this lesson here, because I usually like to, the week before, I always try to have my lesson done. Well, I finished this yesterday. I've been working a lot of overtime, and for the last month, we've been remodeling our kitchen. And when I say we, myself and Rhonda have been doing this. And on a side note, any of y'all that's fixing to get married, if you want to know if a marriage is going to work, remodel a room together. We actually have almost done. We haven't killed each other. That's not why she's not here this morning. My mother wasn't feeling well this morning, so she stayed with her. But that is if you can make it through a house remodel together, you got it whooped. So, but I do want to talk about time a little bit this morning, you know, and it's funny, when I get ready to do a sermon, Rhonda always tells me to read it to myself and time it. So if that's right, we'll be out of here in about 5 minutes. Because I think it's just because I'm a fast reader. But, you know, when you think about time, in our society, especially today, it's an important commodity. You know, you think about how busy we are and all the things that we go through. It seems like we never have enough of it. We've all got the same number of hours, but there's never enough time to do all the things that we want to do. And my mother always told me that the older you get, that time seems to move faster. And I believe what she's saying. You know, when you're young, I can remember as a kid thinking about your birthday or Christmas or waiting for school to get out. It seemed like it took forever. Well, now, I see what she's talking about. It seems like I can remember being Eli's age, and then it seemed like I woke up one morning and I'm 48. And I got to thinking about that, you know, at 48, more than likely half of my life is already over. That's kind of a sobering thought. But when I stop and think about it, I don't really know where that time is gone. I know some of y'all are thinking, yeah, 48, you're still a kid. I understand that. But, you know, it just goes fast. So I want to talk about time a little bit this morning. I hope you gain a little something from it. Got a few points here. Let me find my... where I've got everything marked. My first point that I'd like to talk about is we don't need to spend too much time looking backwards. We're going to talk about the past just for a few minutes. I'd like to begin by reading Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness." Then I'm going to also read Luke 9:62. Luke 9:62, "But Jesus said to him, No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." You know, it's easy to get caught up in the past. I mean, the past is our history. You know, we remember all the good times that we've had. We remember our loved ones. You know, and that's a good thing. We would like to remember the loved ones that we've lost. I know myself, I've told y'all before, my father passed away when I was 16. So when I think about that, I remember, you know, I remember him and the things we did. And I like to remember, like, my mother's 90. I like to remember when she was in better health, when she could still do the things that she wanted to. But I'm thankful that she's still with me. You know, we think about our kids. There's nothing more special than holding your kids when they're little and rocking them. But, you know, I like to see now the young women that they're becoming. You know, we think about the strength and energy we used to have. You know, when you think about being young, you can do anything. And unfortunately, now it seems like if I get up in the morning, and I told somebody, I think I told Scarlett last week, we were talking about it at the meal, and I said, if I get up in the morning and I don't hurt now, I'm scared. It worries me if I get up in the morning and I don't hurt. But, you know, the past is a good thing. I mean, we do need to remember all the good that happened, but we don't need to dwell too much on our past. You know, I've got a cousin that I remember we used to say he lives in the past, because he can come to our house now and he can tell you where everything was in that house when he was a kid. The past is great, but we can't let it just control our life where we can't move on and live for today. Because, you know, when you dwell too much in the past, we can't see the future. And it's hard to see what's ahead of you if you're always looking back. When you think about our past, it's important because it makes us who we are, our history, you know, the way we're raised, the things that we've gone through. But we also have to remember that we can't change anything that's happened, and we can't go back. I mean, sure, you know, I would love for my dad to be able to live a lot longer than he did, and me be able to do a lot of things with him. You know, and we think about this, and we have loved ones that are sick, or ones that we've lost. We would like to have more time with them, but we can't get hung up on just what happened in the past, you know, because we can't go back, no matter what's happened. And the past, I said when I first did the first draft of this, I wrote, I put in there, it's a double-edged sword, the past is, because on one hand, it is good. We think about all the great memories we have. But on the other hand, sometimes we get caught up and we dwell on the bad. You know, and we all have things in our past that we're not proud of and that we'd like to change. You know, and y'all know I love to, a lot of times I use verses out of songs, and I've used this one before, you know, the song about George Jones and Choices. And he says in that song, if I could go back, Lord knows I would run. And I think we all have times in our life that if we had the chance, we would go back and we could change what had happened to us. Because, you know, it. A lot of times if we dwell too much on the bad that's happened in our past, it can continue to cause us pain, and it can make us bitter if we're not careful. We have to be able to move on. We have to forgive ourselves and forgive others, you know, especially as a Christian. We have to forgive the wrongs that have been done to us in the past, you know, and we have to move on. Because, you know, Jesus even gives you the example, if someone slaps you on one cheek, offer them the other. I know that's hard to do. We talk about that, but we can't hold a grudge against people that have done things in the past to us. We have to move on. And we also have to be able to move on past the bad that we've done. Because, you know, through Christ, any of that can be changed, can be washed away. Let the past be what it is. It's the past. Think about in Luke 15, of course, we're talking about the prodigal son. When you think about, it would have been easy for the prodigal son father to have not forgiven the son. What did the son do? He had squandered, or he had wasted half of his, or his inheritance, which had been probably half of his father's wealth that he had. It would have been easy for the father to have held that against him and not welcomed him back, but he didn't. He welcomed him back with open arms. He was rejoicing when he came back. He was proud to see him. He killed the fatted calf. He put a ring on his finger. And that's what, you know, we have to do too. We have to know if someone is, you know, especially a child, if we can, we have to help them back, you know, bring them back to what they need to be. Another example is Joseph in Genesis 37. His own brothers sold him into slavery. But look at the good that happened. Joseph had the chance later on. He could have punished. He could have done something to his brothers if he had held that past against them, you know, what they had done. But he didn't. Once again, we see a case of forgiveness. He rejoiced that his brothers, he was reunited with his brothers, and he forgave them. And also, finally, just remember in Acts 8 when you read about Saul. When you think about Saul, who later became Paul, Saul was, at the time, he was persecuting the church. He wanted to destroy it. He was doing everything he could to persecute, kill Christians, throw them in jail. He was trying to destroy them. Think about if all the people, and at first he did have a little trouble at first when he was converted and he became a Christian. Some people remembered, you know, and that would be human nature to remember what he had done. But if those people had continued to hold that against him and never forgave him, his past, what would have happened, you know? What would have happened if they would not? You know, he went on to become one of the greatest gospel preachers the church has ever known. And when we also think about the past, think about if Paul couldn't have forgiven himself. You know, he said, what if he'd have said, you know, I'm so bad, I've done so many bad things, I don't deserve to be forgiven. And he said himself, he called himself the chief of sinners. And when we think about this, a lot of people have trouble with this. You know, have you ever had people talk to you and you talk to them about Christ, and they said, well, the Lord can never forgive me. I've done so much bad in my life. I'm such a bad person, you know, that I cannot be forgiven, you know. And that's why a lot of them give the excuse, and that's what it is, an excuse not to want to come to church or want to accept Christ because they think they're so bad. Thankfully, though, through Christ, our past is washed away, and through his blood we are made clean. Acts 22:16 says, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And another, 2 Corinthians 5:17. 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we have to be willing to forgive ourselves. We all, especially when we're younger, and sometimes even we have some older, that we do things that we're not proud of. But we have to forgive those and move on, because that's what Jesus does. When we accept Christ, he washes our past away. Those past sins are gone when we're forgiven of them. Let's cherish the good memories we have in our life. Let's not dwell on them. Let's not live in the past all the time. Let's remember the good times, but let's face the future, because we're blessed that God has given us another day, that we have a future. So let's be sure that we are thankful for that day, every day that we have, and continue to live for him. Second point is, use the time that's been given us wisely. As I said earlier, you know, we all talk about we don't ever have enough time. And we would probably say, I don't know that I could say this, but some of us would probably say that we do use our time wisely. But we probably know that really this isn't always the case. I think of a lot of times in my life, things that I've done that was not a wise use of my time. And it's funny when you think about time, the things we say. I know every once in a while I'll watch some movie and I'll make the statement, well, I've wasted two hours of my life right there watching that movie, because, you know, that's how good it was. But when you think about using our time wisely, I want to read from you James 4:13-15. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You know, we all make a lot of plans. And what James is saying here in this passage is, you know, it's a good point. Sure, there's nothing wrong with making plans, but in this, you know, we're talking about let's go and spend a year and we're going to make a profit. We don't know that we're going to have a year to make that profit. We don't know that we're going to leave this building today. We don't know how long we have or when our time is up. Now, when you think about your time, granted, a large portion of our time is involved in our jobs and working. I mean, that's how it should be. We should work. God wants us to provide for our families. He wants us to do what we have to do to provide for them, but we don't need to make making money such a priority that it overruns everything else. You know, that's just all we have to do is work. I mean, here lately, this summer, I have worked a lot more overtime than I have in a while. I've missed a lot of Wednesday nights and even had to work a Sunday morning. I'm not saying, I mean, I didn't have a choice. There's times with our jobs that you have to work. I'm talking about we don't need to get to the point where we're willfully just taking every hour we can, whether we have to or not. Because we do that, it seems like that we're making money our idol, and that's all we strive for. I worked with a guy, and I always remember this. I thought it was so sad. I worked with a bridge foreman. He was talking about his children one day, and he says, I've never watched one of my children play a ball game. He said, they don't even really know me. They're closer to their mother. He said, I was always working. I left before they got up, and by the time I got home, they were asleep. And I thought, you know, he has missed his children's whole life. And that, you know, yes, I know what he's thinking. He thinks that he's doing what he has to do to provide, but he doesn't realize how much that he missed. And I've heard him talk about even older, his children aren't that close with him. So we've got to work. But let's not just make it the total focus and forget about other important things. So When we talk about, you know, I put down, so what is a wise use of our time? For sake of time, there was two that I put down that I think are really important. Worshiping the one who created us. God should be number one in our lives. You know, everything we have is because of God. He created us. He gives us everything. You know, sure, we can say, well, I worked and I bought this, I bought that. But all these blessings come from God. He's the reason that we have it. We need to place him above all else in our lives. Deuteronomy 6 and 5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength," with everything. God should be your all. You know, we say, well, where does family fit in? Well, family is important, but God's supposed to be number one in our life. He's supposed to be the most important thing, and then our family. And that's what sometimes I think people have trouble when we say God is number one. He's supposed to be more important than our families. He's supposed to be more important than our jobs. He's supposed to be more important than anything that we do. And when I talk about worshiping the Lord, you know when we think about worshiping, it isn't just a Sunday and Wednesday night activity. We need to set aside time every day of our life. And worshiping is not just coming together here. You know, like I said, that's, if you come to every service, that's 4 hours a week, roughly. That's not supposed to be the end of it. When we talk about worshiping, we need to set aside time every day to study, to pray, to worship. And I look at it, when we help others, I think that's a form of worship, because that's doing good for our Lord. So we need to make sure that we're setting aside the proper amount of time for our Lord, and we need to make sure that we do this every day. Just think about if you gave your worship as much time as we give our jobs. Think about that. You know, we work, you know, there's some weeks I may work 65 and a half hours a week. And I'm not saying 65 hours of worship all week long, but the more worship that you can give to God, the better. Because one thing, it's going to make us stronger. Think about when we just said about 4 hours a week. That's the only time we give God. Let's say that's the only time we open our Bible. That's the only time we pray, is the services, when the church has services. 4 hours a week. If you gave your job that much time, just 4 hours, you wouldn't have a job long, would you? That would not go over well with your bosses. So we need to worship God every chance we get. And when you think about, you know, I know we talk about work, and we do this because I'm getting close myself with the state. I'm getting close to 30 years. Well, everybody wants to talk about retiring, you know, which I've done figured out. At 30 years, I'll be 49 years old. Number one, my wife's not going to let me retire, so that's nice. But, you know, we talk about retirement. That's what we talk about in our job. How good is your retirement? Well, let's think about the retirement plan the Lord has for us. You know, it's a whole lot better because we have eternity in heaven with our Lord. We get to spend the rest of eternity. And I know we can't grasp eternity. You know, David has talked about this before. Our time here, we talk about, it's like a speck. And we can't grasp eternity. But when we worship and we become the Christian that we should be and we live for God, that's our retirement. We will have eternity in heaven being able to worship God. I mean, what could be greater? When you read about heaven in the Bible, and it talks about streets of gold and jewels, and it does that to give us an idea of something we can comprehend, because we can't comprehend the beauty that heaven's going to be or how awesome it is going to be able to be with God the rest of our lives. So let's be sure that we give God, when we talk about using our time wisely, let's give him our time, because I guarantee it'll come back tenfold. Any time that we help somebody or we work for the Lord, we work for the church, it will come back to help us. It'll be worth it. The second part of using our time wisely is, I kind of touched on this earlier, we need to spend time with our family. I mean, nothing after God, what could be more important than your family? I've been really blessed. I have, I think I've told y'all before, I have three sisters and two brothers. And my parents did a really good job of instilling closeness in her family, because we all are real close still. We all get together, you know, we text each other a lot. We really stay close. But not only am I close with my brothers and sisters, myself and Rhonda, we have a real close relationship with our children. It's funny, we laugh about Christine. She's the one we say she'll never leave home. Because it started out, she's going to go to college, I'm going to live at home the first year. Well, now she's asking me, am I going to kick her out when she graduates from college? You know. So, it's funny, but, you know, and then Bethany, she'll call me two or three times a week. We just have this bond. We do things together. This kitchen remodel, Christine has been a lot of it too, which might be why we haven't killed each other. We have kind of a referee in there with us, but she's worked with us, and it's really fun how we do things together, and it's made us close. And besides worshiping the Lord, I can't think of a better activity than being with your family. You know, it's to watch your children grow up, to mature, to the adults they're going to be. It's such a special thing. And like I said, that's what I have been blessed, that majority of my life, which I've lived on the same piece of dirt my whole life. And so I've either lived next door or, of course, for the last 17 years, my mother has lived with me. And I've been blessed to be able to have that. And I think anyone that has lost a parent would say they are still blessed if they have their parent with them. You know, and I think even though I had a short time with my dad, I cherish those moments, you know, and the lessons and things that they have instilled in me. And Rhonda was reading me when I was doing this lesson. She's helping me, and it was talking about something as simple as having a meal with your children. It had the statistics, like how it will keep them out of trouble. And we always have as a family. We've always, my daughters, we've always, and Rhonda, we've always ate together, you know, talk about our day together. What we're going to do is that builds a closeness that we need as a family. We need a closeness. You know, when you think about our kids, especially this day and time with all the social media, the internet and everything, the world, and when you think about the world, you might as well say the devil, is trying hard to get our kids. I mean, there is such a draw for our kids, so many things for them to do. So let's be sure as a family, as a mother and father and brothers and sisters, we're doing what we can. Let's provide them with a base. Let's do what we can to give them a good base. And worshiping and studying God's Word, I know Tim's talked about this before with his family. That's the way that's going to draw you closer. When we study together, we study God's Word, we pray together, it's gonna build a base, and it's going to let them see how important the Lord is to you. I mean, that's a wise use of your time, because the final goal in any of us, I know, as parents or anybody, you know, we want our children to go, like Tim says, we want our children to be in heaven with us one day. We want our whole family, if we can, everyone that we can bring with us, we want them to be in heaven with us. And when you think about attending worship, it also strengthened the bond with our Christian family. You know, y'all have heard me say it 100 times. Y'all have always been so good to my family, and we feel like we grew up here. Because this is a close congregation. I've always enjoyed that, and I've always been impressed by how loving this congregation is. And as a family, when we bond together as Christians, we can do anything. And it's going to be a whole lot harder for the devil to get us as a group, because we've got strength in numbers. You know, on your own, it's hard to resist some of the things that's going on. But when we bond together as a Christian family, we can do anything. We can defeat the devil, and we can help each other get to heaven. I don't think there could be any other wiser use of your time than doing those two things. And finally, number 3 is be prepared when our time is up. Ecclesiastes 3:2, that Norris read for us, he read 1, it talks about there is a time to be born and a time to die. Something we don't like to talk about. But this is an appointment that we all must keep. There is no cheating death. You know, I watch on TV these people that are cryogenically freezing their bodies and their brains. They hope someday that it's going to catch up where they can be. That's not going to happen. They're just going to be a froze body or a froze head. That's all it's going to be. It's an appointment we all have to keep. There aren't many things in life that are certain. Death is certain. That is one of them. Hebrews 9, I believe, can I read my writing, 27. It is appointed for man to die once, and after this, the judgment. You know, life is so short. Like David said, I mean, my mother's 90 years old. She'd probably tell you it went by like that. Like David said, our time on this earth is a speck. Eternity is long. You know, when you think about, and this, I didn't really think this would ever make this big of an impact, but our future son-in-law is a lawyer. So we finally, and this kind of sank home to me and Rhonda, I guess, about how short life is and what you face, we finally drew up a will. You know, and I thought that wouldn't be any big deal until we got to doing it. And it both kind of freaked us out a little bit because, I mean, it's something you have to do, but it's pretty sobering when you sit down and you start thinking about your death and what you're going to do with, you know, your children. They're doing this, doing that, and it made me think, you know, it made me think about that life really is short. It says our time on this earth is short, but eternity is long. How we spend our time on this earth will also have an effect on our eternity. Think about that. You know, the way we live is going to have an effect. When you think about it in Luke 16, the story about the rich man. You remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man spent his life. What did he spend his life doing? Worried about himself. He never worried about, said, you know, he never worried about Lazarus or anybody else. He partied. He feasted. He had a good time. That's what he spent his whole life doing. And we were knowing the story, what happened. He went to torment while Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. So that kind of goes back to what I was talking about, spending your time wisely worshiping God. Make sure you study his word. You become a New Testament Christian and you live a faithful life. Finally, this is one more song for you. Brad Paisley has a new song that says that there is a last time for everything. And in that song, he talks about, you know, different about your kids growing up. There's a last time for this and that. Well, don't let the last thing or the last time be that you're dying a lost soul. Nothing can be worse, you know. When you think about, and we give invitations so much, and it's not just an invitation, is not just a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Invitation to Christ is offered anytime. If it's this afternoon, if it's midnight, you decide you need to change your life, you need to become a Christian, you need to let us know and we can take care of that. We think about time, like I said, time is short. And once again, like I said, eternity is long. So let's be sure that since eternity is so long, that we're facing the kind of eternity that we are in paradise with our Lord and Savior. If you're by chance not a Christian this morning, perfect time to do it. Don't be nervous about stepping out in the aisle. I guarantee myself or somebody, if you want somebody to, we'll come walk with you, bring you down front. It is that important because we don't know, just like it says, a time to die. This could be our time to die. We might not have another opportunity at an invitation to become a Christian. If there's something in your life that you need to ask for the prayers of the church, forgiveness of, we can also help you with that. If there's anything else you need, if there's any concerns or needs we can help you with, please come while we stand and sing.